And perhaps there is no one who loves this planet as much as Roz Savage. I say that because she puts her money, her life on the line, puts her money where her mouth is, and her entire being into raising awareness globally for the need to focus on climate change action. And I say that because she, of course, is my shero. Anyone who listens to the show knows I talk about her all the time. Single-handedly, the best source of inspiration I've found, because a lot of people talk about things and a lot of people are doing great things, incredible things out there, not to downplay that or diminish or take away. But I don't know anyone who has rowed across three oceans on her own with no tracking boat just back from her voyage across the Indian Ocean after earlier doing the Atlantic and Pacific. I am thrilled to welcome back to the Green Front my friend, proud to say that, Roz Savage, who is traveling along the East Coast on a train, and we're not going to let three oceans get you almost all the way and then have a delayed train stop you from being on the Green Front. So thanks for persevering.
I did finally make it to New York despite a few delays, so I'm sorry. Rather than being in a nice quiet apartment, I'm in a cafe opposite Penn Station.
And that's okay. That's okay. We're just thrilled to have you.
So I apologize for the excessive noises of general ambience in the background.
Well, it's not too bad, and I really appreciate your being available. We just move things around, so no problem, Roz. I'd love to spend the next 12 minutes hearing about your voyage most recently across the Indian Ocean. You have a blog that is just sensational. I say not only is she a fabulous rower, she's a fabulous writer. You write with poignancy, with humor, always with an environmental message, and you're out there. You're out there looking for fish. I remember in the beginning of your trip, it was pretty alarming that you were not seeing marine life, perhaps debris, and I hope not more plastic than, plankton, but maybe. And so you have a unique perspective on what it's like out there why you do it. And then we'll talk about sort of some lessons you came away from, and hanging up your oars. What are you going to focus on next? So all that I hope to cover in the next 10 minutes. So start wherever you like, my dear. Your call.
Well, I'll make sure I keep my answer short and to the point then. Yeah, this year was my third ocean and probably my toughest one yet. It was 5 months at sea, rowing 4,000 miles across the Indian Ocean. And you're exactly right. The first half of the voyage, I saw very few fish, and I was really getting quite worried. I was really starting to wonder if we'd finally killed them all. But then I'm happy to say that in the second half of the voyage, a few Dorados turned up, and in fact, grew to quite significant numbers. And congregated in a little school underneath my boat would keep me entertained with their antics. They would jump all 6 or even 10 feet in the air and then do a big belly flop back into the water. So it is. It would always make me smile
to
see that.
As if cheering you on.
Absolutely. My little fishy cheerleaders.
I guess it's surprising that you just didn't see, schools of fish and lots of sharks and dolphins and all kinds of marine life, but maybe they're just under the water. You just can't see them, but hopefully they're all there and the ocean is healthy. But, of course, our ocean is threatened, as is the rest of the planet. Why have you chosen to row across huge bodies of water alone and breaking many, many records in doing so? What is the point of all this?
Well, when I had my environmental epiphany about 7 years ago, actually reading about the Hopi tribe of North America, they believe that we have to look after the earth if we want it to look after us, that everything is connected. And when I read that, I was just struck between the eyes by the absolute fundamental truth of it. And I was shocked and horrified that I had been so oblivious to this for so much of my life. And when I looked around my peers in London and saw lots of other people seemingly fairly oblivious, I thought, what can I do to help draw attention to this really urgent issue? And seemed like the best way to get people's attention was to do something extraordinary. And so I took up my oars. And I would like to think that it has worked. As you say, I do blog every day while I'm out on the ocean. And it gets old pretty quickly writing about rowing. So I'm always very happy to write about the much more important things that I'm thinking about while I'm out there. I do enjoy thinking about the meaning of life, the universe, and everything. And I think my time on the ocean does give me a unique perspective, especially when I come back to dry land and just see the amount of waste that goes on here. Because on my little boat, I have to really husband my resources very carefully. I'm aware it's going to take me X number of months to get across the ocean, and I have to make sure that I don't use everything up before I get to the end of it. And yet when I come back to dry land, it seems like we're drilling it and burning it and chopping it down just as fast as we can without really any view to the future. And to me that just seems extraordinary.
And when you say that people say, welcome back to reality, you say, well, what's actually closer to reality, this crazy consumptive life or maybe being out there on the ocean?
It's pretty much as real as it gets out there on the ocean. Mother Nature has a way of regularly reminding me out there just who is boss. When you're faced by big waves or adverse winds or difficult currents, you know absolutely who's in charge. And I think Mother Nature is starting to remind those of us on dry land of that once in a while as well, with earthquakes and tsunamis and volcanoes. We might think that we've got nature tamed, but really, when I'm out on the ocean, I feel so completely puny in the face of the sheer force of nature. I managed to break a couple of oars this year. Well, I should say it wasn't me that broke the oars. I would like to say that I am so big and strong that I broke them myself, but in fact it was the force of the water. When I capsized, the waves actually broke some pretty strong wooden oars. So, yeah, I'm very more than aware of just how powerful nature can be. And I do think that in the long term, nature will reassert herself, and we can either do this the easy way or do it the hard way. And I would really like to see us having a major outbreak of common sense and taking the proactive approach and thinking, well, what are we going to do if we want to ensure the future of the species? Because really what we're talking about isn't the survival of the Earth. The Earth will be fine in a few millennia. But I think human beings, despite all our many failings, we are pretty amazing creatures, and I'd like to see us be around for a long time yet. But if we are going to aspire to longevity, then we need to just start taking better care of the Earth, because on a finite planet, what goes around comes around.
Yeah, I'd like to see us be a little bit more amazing, we human beings. We're up, you know, to it if we really, you know, open our eyes and pay attention and get to work. But if we don't, if we keep our heads in the sand, you know, what a shame to not live up to our potential. But you certainly have, you know, reached your potential and beyond, I'm sure, anyone's expectations for yourself. You are single-handedly the strongest person I know, not just physically, but what it must take internally to set off on your own to cross three oceans. And you're not fishing every night for your dinner, and you're not, you know, in touch with tracker boats, you know, following along behind. Just tell us, you know, a little bit about just, you know, what kind of internal fortitude it takes to do this. And I know you don't seem to think it's that big of a deal, or at least you've done it. But for those of us who meet you, we just, you know, have to keep closing our jaws.
Well, you know, I think we are actually all much more powerful than we believe. I used to be a completely normal person working in an office, and I had these self-limiting beliefs. I didn't believe that I could go out there and either have a big adventure or make a real difference in the world. And you know what? Now I am succeeding in doing both. I just switched the way that I saw the world and started to think, well, this is so important to get this environmental message out there. I have to do something. And something that really makes me, just a little bit annoyed is when people say, well, what difference does it make what I do? I'm just one person. There are 7 billion people on this planet. And really, we are all making a difference in a very real way. It's not just about our choices of transport or whether we remember to turn the lights off. It's talking to other people about those lifestyle choices that we're making. It's not just about our individual actions, but about the ripples that we spread. And we are all powerful to make a difference, whether you just look at that in a purely scientific, pragmatic way, or whether you see that on a more spiritual level of interconnectedness. It's vital that every single one of us accepts responsibility and realizes that that we do have the power. That if we decide not to eat fish anymore, it may not stop the fish stocks from collapsing, but if we don't stop eating fish, it certainly won't help them to recover. So if I could just say one thing to people, it would be, know that you are powerful, know that you are making a difference, and just think carefully about whether that's a good difference or a bad difference. And those tiny little actions, they really do add up. I've taken about 5 million oar strokes to row across these three oceans. So one oar stroke only gets me a few feet of progress, but you take 5 million of them and you row most of the way around the world. Little actions really, truly do add up. That is such an important thing for people to appreciate.
And your accomplishments have added up to enough notoriety that you have been invited by the Queen, the actual real Queen, to be going to Buckingham Palace next month.
In
the last minute, tell us just how exciting that is.
Well, I haven't really had time to think about it too much yet. I suppose I'd better decide what I'm going to wear. It's a reception for explorers and adventurers to commemorate the 100th anniversary of, I think, Scott at the South Pole. Unfortunately, he didn't make it back alive, but obviously all the people who will be at the reception did make it back alive. And so I think all round it should be a really fun evening. Really looking forward to meeting the Queen, although actually I have to say Prince Charles is my real hero for what he's been saying about the environment for many, many decades now, as well as his ideas on complementary medicine and against GMOs and just all the really wise things that he has been saying through thick and thin, and no matter how much criticism he got before it became fashionable. So hopefully one day I will meet Prince Charles, but meanwhile, you know, it'll be quite nice to meet Queenie as well.
Yes, and I think I told you when Prince Charles and Camilla were here, I actually introduced myself, Prince Charles, Queen of Green, and he smiled and turned bright red, and you are the real Queen of Green, so I hope you do get to meet him, and I agree. He's been a trailblazer, and you are the trailblazer of trailblazers, so thank you for taking time on your busy travels to be with us for a few minutes, and we'll catch up with you soon, I hope, as you hang up your oars, but pick up the microphone and speak about all your wonderful experiences and, most importantly, your global message. Thanks so much, Roz Savage, and so glad to have you back here on land. Your resident Jewish mother was very worried about you, along with your real mother. That does it for this edition of The Green Front. And if you joined us midway, you'll want to check in to the blog site at the Progressive Radio Network or also my website, thegreenfront.com, because we just had a fabulous show with not only Roz Savage, but prior to that, Alec Lures, and before that, my friend Peter Joseph. So I guess the theme is inspiration on what we can do, each of us, to raise awareness about our planet and most particularly our changing climate. See you next time.